Hello and welcome to MHEC 101, a podcast that keeps you updated on programs and policies that impact the higher education community in Maryland. Today, we're going to look into programs available to our veterans in the state. And joining us today is Everett Jackson, the Associate Director of Veterans Affairs and the State Approving Agency. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Rhonda. So glad to be here this morning.
I am so glad to have you, despite it being cold outside and wintry and whatnot. Your division is a complicated one, and you heat things up inside because there's so much going on within your division. Now, I mentioned that it was a complicated one, and that is because you're directly linked with the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I promise we'll talk about that in just a minute, but let's talk about Maryland State Approving Agency side of what you do when you assist students in our higher education institutions and our overall community.
Sure, absolutely. So the Maryland State Approving Agency, we approve and supervise over 400 post-secondary institutions that are legally operating here in Maryland, which includes public and private colleges, universities, community colleges, training academies, high schools, and private career schools. That even includes our flight schools as well. One of the things that I love about the work that we do is that we work with all types of training providers and also even exposed to on-the-job training and apprenticeships. So we get to work with a lot of our state partners, including Department of Labor, to really assist students meet their academic pursuits, whether it's educational or vocational, with GI Bill education benefits. And so with that, we work with veterans who are using benefits that can include the post 9/11 GI Bill or additional benefits such as the Montgomery GI Bill or dependent and survivor education benefits. So it's really great opportunity where we're housed to support veterans here in Maryland to really use this entitlement that they're so entitled to, that they deserve, to really pursue and make their lives better with education and job opportunities.
Absolutely, and to assist them in their higher education goals.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about the veteran. Do we classify that as a non-traditional student anymore? Because it seems like that whole classification has changed.
I agree, it has changed. You know, our non-traditional learner is more of our common learner. We find that things that have happened that have forced people back into higher education, maybe it's to retrain or to seek a promotion in the type of work that they're doing, or even looking at a career change. And our veterans are really representative of that, especially transitioning out of active duty service back into civilian life. It's an opportunity for them to possibly do a career change or to expound upon some of the military training. And so some of our institutions in higher ed are doing some great things in how they allow veterans to apply their military training into higher education credit to help them in their higher ed program completion. You know, great institutions here in Maryland, like University of Maryland Global Campus, you know, we have University of Maryland College Park. They really support veterans and have great departments that support our veterans in pursuing these academic program opportunities. And it's great to see, you know, their dreams and their as academic plans and how they wanted to make these transitions or goals after service really come to fruition.
Wow, that says a lot. What about community colleges? Do we assist in that as well as the four-year?
Absolutely. You know, community colleges are a great gateway to education, especially in the mindset of cost. You know, we're really trying these days to reduce costs, reduce student loans for not only our veterans, but students over, you know, statewide in meeting their education goals. And I think how to finance your education is usually the first barrier that students face in trying to reach their academic pursuits. And so with our community colleges, they offer a lot of associate degree programs and flexible class options, especially for our veterans who are likely working during the day. And so it allows flexibility for them to, one, still work, but also be able to still able to go to class, and then also just offering different modalities for learning, whether it's online. Distance education is a very big thing, especially during the pandemic, to make learning safer for everyone. And so our community colleges really provide that support, being housed in the community, and also providing programs that our veterans and all students have easier access to.
That's amazing. When you just were talking about the working while trying to also go to college, that seems to be a big task for so many people, including our veterans. Talk to me about those who might be in the reserves. Mm-hmm. Is there programs or policies or things in place that will maybe assist them, active duty and or reserve, versus those who are now just, you know, out of their service but still a very appreciated and honored veteran in our society?
No, absolutely. You don't have to wait till after service, right, to pursue mm-hmm. Your higher ed education goals. So for our active duty person on our reservists, there's a tuition assistance for active duty, where institutions have a MOU with the DOD to provide funding for courses, and students get a special military rate mm-hmm. To help cover the cost of that training. And for our reservists, they have access to a tuition waiver, mm-hmm. which institutions here in Maryland participate in to reduce their tuition costs, which is a great opportunity for them to pursue their higher education goals and do it at a reduced cost while serving.
Now, I also understand that the dependents of veterans can also benefit from the veteran service. Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. So our dependents, you know, spouses, children, they're just as important, and they really make the sacrifice too in the service of our veterans or our active duty servicemen and women who are serving. And so those benefits can extend to dependents and as far as pursuing their academic goals. And so in that vein, with post 9/11 GI Bill, those benefits, while the veteran is on active duty, they can set aside a certain amount of months to go either to their spouse or their dependent children to use later down the line to cover the cost of school. And so that's been a great way that some of our veterans have been able to finance school, not only for themselves, but their children as well. Or if you're a veteran who completed school while you were active duty and you don't necessarily need that education benefit mm-hmm. afterwards, you can reserve it and save it for your children or your spouse. So that's been a great benefit. We find that in a lot of our institutions, there's even more dependents that are using that benefit and being able to realize their higher education goals through that benefit. So there's also an additional benefit, which we call our survivor's benefit, where if the veteran was 100% permanently disabled, or if they passed away during service, then their dependent has the opportunity to receive benefits to attend school as well. And so that's a great benefit, not only for the spouse, but for their dependent children as well, to support them after, you know, the veteran has made, or the active duty serviceman has made, the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can we break it down a little bit between the Maryland State Approving Agency for Veterans Education versus you had mentioned DOD, Department of Defense, and what is the difference, and where is that break off for somebody who might be listening to say, do I still call you if I have to go through the feds? let's break that down a little
sure,
bit.
Absolutely. So with active duty service in the DOD, while you're actively in service, you get your benefits depending on what branch you're in. And so you really want to talk to your education office and see what that process is to receive tuition assistance. When you transition out, you're no longer on active duty service, your post 9/11 benefits, you actually have to apply for with the Department of Veterans Affairs. So it's not something that you automatically get. You have to initiate by completing an online application. And with that online application, you'll be processed by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they'll let you know what you're eligible for, and how we get involved at the Maryland State Approving Agency is that we approve the training providers and the higher ed institutions, our community colleges, our four-year colleges. We approve them to participate in this program where you're able to use your entitlement. So one of our main goals here at the State Approved Agency is to expand the opportunities for veterans to use their VA education benefits. And so that's why we work closely with institutions to safeguard the quality of training and what training veterans can be exposed to pursue their higher ed goals and actually complete and apply and complete that training, whether it's like I said, through higher ed or, you know, a big thing now is also vocational training.
There's
a big push.
Let's talk about apprenticeships and vocational, because you're right. That's from the classroom, bam, right into the workforce.
Right. So, you know, the big thing we're talking about is one, a cost of school. And also the need to work. You know, a lot of times people don't have the time to just be a student. And so the benefits of on-the-job training and apprenticeship is that you can get paid while you train and learn a skilled trade. And so there's been a big push where companies are working or creating apprenticeship programs where you can start with them. You'll start at a journeyman wage and you'll grow within that program that can be, you know, anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, where you're trained in a skilled trade and you're hired after you complete that training with that company. So there's a lot of security in that process, job security, knowing that once you complete the training, a job is there afterwards.
Yes.
And there's no cost to the veteran himself or any trainee that decides to participate in an apprenticeship or on-the-job training program. Now, the biggest difference between, well, what's the difference between on-the-job training and apprenticeship? Mm-hmm. On-the-job training typically is just a shorter program. They're usually 6 months to a year, where apprenticeship is much longer. And usually apprenticeship programs can be registered through the Department of Labor. And usually with the registered apprenticeships that we work with, they register through the Department of Labor and then come to us for a GI Bill benefit approval. So for our veterans, the greatest benefit is that while you're doing an apprenticeship and receiving pay, the VA will supplement you as well and provide you additional payment while you're going through that apprenticeship program. So it's a great incentive to use your benefit while you're participating in a vocational program as well.
What would the number one stumbling block be for our veterans or a member of the family when they come to you needing assistance?
Sure. They don't know where to go. I think that's the biggest thing. And I will give credit to the VA. They are, or the Department of Veterans Affairs, rather, they're really working on their communication and messaging and letting veterans know how to use their benefit.
Yes.
And some changes have happened as well, where in the past, your benefit could expire. It was called a delimiting date. And so with that, some veterans, if they were unaware of applying for their benefit, if they didn't do it by a certain time, they would no longer have access to it. And that was unfortunate.
Yes.
And so with changes in the law, that no longer happens for veterans who are recently transitioning out. And there's work in what's called a TAPS briefing, which is a transition assistance program, which tells veterans what their options are after they're transitioning out of the military and going into civilian life. And so what we try to do here at the State Approved Agency, when we speak to our veterans, right, we don't necessarily provide the benefit. That's not our role. But we want to lead you there. So if you have questions about where can I apply? What benefits may I be eligible for? Those are the conversations that we're having with our veterans here in Maryland. And then also even exposing them to the scholarship opportunities that we offer through our Office of Student Financial Assistance here as well at the Maryland Higher Education Commission.
Outstanding. How do people contact you? You said the hardest part is finding someone to talk to. How do we find you?
Yes, so we are online. Go to the Maryland Higher Education Commission website. My team, our contact information is there. My email address or for the unit is VA, so that's Victor Alpha, educationbenefits.mhec@maryland.gov. And so just feel free to shoot us an email. That's our general email account. And we'll be glad to answer any inquiry that a veteran dependent may have. Or if you're thinking about how you want to use your benefits, or if an institution is approved, it's a great conversation to start or let you know how we can get that institution or program approved to be able to use your benefit.
Great. So I'm going to have you give that email one more time, please.
Sure. It's a mouthful, right?
It is, especially with masks on.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's VA. So that's Victor Alpha Education Benefits dot MHEC at Maryland.gov.
And I want to give you one more, which is MHEC.Maryland.gov. And that is our main webpage that you can go on. Go over to the quick link side and click on Veterans Affairs, and you can get more information there as well. Thank you, Everett Jackson, and thank you all for listening to us today. We look forward to having you join us as often as you can by going to mhec.maryland.gov and going to the bottom of the screen to where it says podcast. Learn all about what the Maryland Higher Education Commission has to offer, and we wish you all a great day.